We're happy to welcome to the program a best-selling author. Last book out was 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. Her newest is 13 Things Strong Kids Do. Think big, feel good, act brave. We are very happy to welcome Amy Morin to Downtown. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I love your book. I'm a teacher and also have a seven-year-old at home, so this is great information on a number of fronts here. Let me start by asking you, what does strength mean when it comes to kids?
So it's really about the way they think, feel, and behave. And it's not about thinking positive, because sometimes we tell kids, oh, just think about all the good things that will happen, or imagine everything's going to work out okay. And that's not what we want them to think. We want them to know that the reality is you might not get picked for the team, or you might not get the part in the play. We want them to think, I'll be okay even if the best things don't happen. And then when it comes to their feelings, we want them to know that it's okay to feel sad, it's okay to feel embarrassed, disappointed, but so they don't have to stay stuck in the feelings when they don't serve them well. We want to empower them to have coping skills so they can help themselves feel better. And then when it comes to their behavior, we want them to know that they can take positive action. They can solve problems. They can do things they don't feel like doing. That they can persist even when it's really hard. And when you put those three things together, you have mental strength for kids.
You talk about empowering kids, and you explain in the book that there's a difference between empowering yourself and giving away your power. Can you explain?
Kids are really quick to say things like, my teacher ruined my day, or my friend made me mad. We want them to know that they're in control of what kind of day they have. They're in control of how they feel about themselves especially. And just helping them flip the switch so they change their language can make a big difference. It might be about teaching your child, instead of saying, my brother makes me mad, you're going to say, I'm angry. And it might be because he threw a toy or he took something without asking, but that he didn't force you to be mad. Just helping kids change their language like that can make a huge difference about how they go through life, whether they feel empowered or they see themselves as a helpless victim.
Well, this last year has certainly been a challenge for kids and parents alike. Strong kids adapt to change. And part of that, too, is understanding that there are some things you can't control. Focus on the things that are within your power.
Yeah, kids can often feel like they have no control in their lives. And they don't. There's a lot of choices. They didn't get to decide this year whether they went to school or not. They didn't get to decide whether they could see their grandparents or not. Other adults made a lot of those decisions for them. But we want them to know they can make some choices. So it might be asking your child, do you want water with your dinner or ice water? Give them those little choices so that they feel like, okay, I have some control in my life. And then when you notice that they're really worried about something they don't have control over, like, is it going to rain next weekend and that party's going to be canceled? You can't control the rain, but you can then come up with a plan. If it rains, what are we going to do instead? And really helping kids focus on what can you do to stay focused on what you can control. Again, they feel much more empowered in life.
One of the ways they can get that power is to find the ability to say no, but a lot of kids like to be people pleasers. That's a big challenge for a lot of them. How can we help students and kids learn to be able to say no?
A lot of the parents I talk to say, I don't want my kids to say no. They say no too much. When I ask them to do the dishes or clean their room, they say no. But we want kids to be able to say no when their friend says, can I cheat off your homework paper? Or when another kid comes up with a really bad idea, we want them to be able to say no. And so we need to give them the skills and tools to do that. Part of that might be teaching them how to deliver a polite no. Say no, thank you. How do you even recognize what they want to do and what they want to say no to? Some kids just say yes to so many things that they don't even have time to sit back and think, wait, did I really want to do that favor for my friend? Or we have the kids, too, that will say yes to everything and then back out at the last second because they don't actually want to do it. We want to teach them, no, if your friend invites you to do something on Friday and you don't want to do it, it's okay to say no on Tuesday. You don't have to say yes and then back out on Thursday night. And to make sure that they then feel like they can set healthy boundaries and it's up to them to decide what they allow into their lives to an extent. Obviously, as the adults, we need to be ultimately in charge, but we want kids to feel empowered that they can make those choices and it's okay to say no to things that they don't want to do.
We're talking with Amy Morin. Her new book is 13 Things Strong Kids Do. Think big, feel good, act brave. You write in the book about kids taking calculated risks and being able to fail and try again. And I find as a teacher, that's one of the toughest lessons for kids. Somehow they've often been conditioned along the way to avoid situations where they might fail.
Yes, and for them to know about how do you actually calculate risk. And I'm originally from Maine, and out in the country of Maine, we do things like you a snowmobile, you take stunts on your bike, you do a lot of outdoor activities without thinking twice, without knowing, gosh, what are the bad things that could happen? Yet at the same time, the thought of delivering your science fair project in front of the class might feel terrifying, and we think that that's really risky. So we need to teach kids that the level of fear isn't necessarily equivalent to the level of risk. Just because something doesn't feel scary doesn't necessarily mean it's not risky. And on the other hand, your heart's racing and your palms are sweaty because you're going to do something that's kind of tough, like delivering that science fair project in front of the whole class. But that's okay. You can face those healthy fears in life. And even if it doesn't go well, that's okay. When they've done research on what really helps kids succeed in school, they found that talking about famous scientists and famous inventors, the more that they focused on how successful people like Einstein and Edison were, the more the kids' grades actually went down. But as soon as the teacher started talking about how many experiments Edison had that failed, how many of Einstein's ideas didn't work out, the kids' grades went back up because they had to see that even though we often just see the end of the story, we see successful people, we assume that they succeeded all the way along. That really didn't happen, that they probably failed a lot along the way. And when we talk about famous failures, kids actually then become braver with putting down an answer, raising their hand, even if they aren't 100% sure. They'll take more of those healthy risks and be less afraid of failing in the end.
Strong kids balance social time and alone time, and you write about alone time is not necessarily on a device. Alone time needs to be quality alone time.
And this is another one during the pandemic that I think things have shifted. For kids who weren't able to go to school this year, they were at home. A lot of them, I think, are going to be afraid of alone time because they've been lonely, and they're going to equate being alone with being lonely and that it's miserable. Well, we also want kids to know that they can socialize, they can spend time with people, that they have the social skills they need to get along. But we also want them to be comfortable enough in their own skin that they know, okay, if I don't have a friend to go with me to do something, I can do that on my own. Or it's okay to draw and by myself. I don't necessarily need somebody to sit next to me while I do it. And then we teach kids about just being comfortable in their own skin, and they have confidence in who they are as a person.
Well, this is a terrific handbook and a guide, not only for kids, but for parents and teachers as well. 13 Things Strong Kids Do. Think Big, Feel Good, Act Brave from Amy Moore, and it's available everywhere fine books are sold. Amy, thank you so much for your work and for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.